fucking work. That's why I work as a Jew and roll my butt, and I get a limousine stuck out there a mile long.
Thank you for listening to the ESBC podcast network, where the purpose of the podcast is to be very clear and candid. We might not be right, but it is exactly the way we feel. And I was reminded after I did my Motivational Monday, saying that the worst thing you could ever do in life is seek another man's approval. And somebody wrote back to me, what is a man? What does he got? If not himself, that he has not to say the words he truly feels and not the ones of those who kneel, right?
Frank Sinatra,
did it my way. The record shows I took the blows, we did it my way. So that's really the goal of the podcast. Number one goal. You always have to have a purpose and an outcome. So the purpose is to provide clarity to people, to provide an example of successful people who got money, who live in very expensive Southern California. Mm-hmm. However, since we own our own businesses, we're our own men, we can say and get as close to our perception of the truth as we can. However, we're old, so we disagree. And sometimes we understand that we are wrong and other people are right. So we always invite opinion, like the comments. And the gentleman, seems he's an attorney, who made the comments last time, wrote again. I haven't had time to look at it. We're going to look at it and then put back. We were suspecting it was Bob Baffert, right? the way he brilliantly, or maybe Bob Baffert's lawyer, brilliantly positioned Bob Baffert's position, right?
Yeah.
So it's purpose and an outcome. Two other purposes, right? Mental health first aid kit, right? Laughing is great for your mental health. You don't know what's going on with people. We got in a mental health crisis, and also financial mental health kit. That degree back there is a master's degree in business, MBA, have a master's degree in science. And never too far away from me is, and we're going to have Luciano, Coach Mike's son, and we're going to talk about sports betting, right? Sports betting and the FINRA book. So because I'm not Epstein, who can be a pedophile and run a hedge fund, I have to be honest. And I have to be a fiduciary, which a fiduciary means that if I lose people money, anybody in any context, they can raid my office and cuff me up and put me in jail or raid me. Now, if I ran a hedge fund, right, if I ran a hedge fund like Epstein did, I would have no problem.
Yes. But
those are the laws that we abide with and then we're functioning. So those are the purposes. What has been the outcome? The outcome has been the first 2 years of the podcast, we're at 65% against the spread NFL. We're about 69% college basketball. We got 70% Pac-12 basketball, and we were in the mid-60s for the NCAA tournament. All that means is 500% ROI, which in layman's term, in common sense terms, you don't need a specialized degree, is five times more money than you had if you took our bets. Now, as luck would have it, we gave you 12-1 winner, right? The Kentucky Derby, Medina Spirit, based on conspiracy theories, right? Based on that we felt that Bob Baffert had spiked the horse and the horse was going to win. So what happened? The horse was spiked by Bob Baffert and the horse won. You get to keep your money, but Bob Baffert is suspended and Medina Spirit is banned from any other races because of the horse being spiked. And we broke down the drug that it had. The reason it's a spike is because it's an anti-inflammatory to make the horse run harder than it normally would, right? We all have a filter that stops things. The drug they gave him, that unfortunately it wasn't in the hay that he ate or whatever he tried to say, at the level of an injection, the horse worked harder without having that filter in her head to stop. You know, my muscles are sore, I'm gonna stop. The horse kept going. who cares? We cash the ticket 12 to 1. Whatever, right? And it's always better to be lucky than good. And then I changed my mind in the last minute, and I took a picture of the ticket, put it on my Twitter. That's why the Twitter handle I have, at Josue Viske, is currency. I remember Coach Mike Prisonisi, will introduce him in a second. We were in a business networking group, and somehow it came out that people are currency. So my Twitter feed is currency. But not only do we give you fish, we teach you how to fish. So this is horse racing, true crime, right? And then I'll go back to the last podcast, and we'll get to this podcast. But first, right, one of the outcomes, besides you making a lot of money, and this is all free, right? You always get 12x, 10 times more than you give. So if you're the toughest, smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. So I got two people here who are smarter and tougher than I am to bestow on us their wisdom as we continue to learn about life. That's another purpose. So learn about life, learn about people. I saw it, what Stan told me 30 years ago when I was paying for college, dispatching trucks at AAA 30 years ago. Old man Stan told me it's the measure of the man. You got to learn how to measure men, right? And measure women. And by doing so, you're aware of your surroundings, which is what? A survival skill. That's why the podcast keeps growing. We love, you know, knock on wood, the feedback we've gotten, and we keep moving forward. So we got last name, I always get it wrong. First name, I always get it right. Rick. Girl Thrower, who wrote a couple of great books that we have links on the website you can read. And give him money, send him money, right? If you read the podcast. Hey, Rick, how are you feeling tonight? And what are your first thoughts?
About what?
About anything. Before we get into the Belmont.
It's dark. It wasn't dark before.
Yeah.
It's going to be the biggest. It's going to be probably. I think they might get as many people at Belmont unless they're the restriction as they had it in the last week.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, unless there's a restriction.
Right. Yeah, everything's turned around. Everything we thought about the pandemic and COVID-19, this year it's the opposite.
No, just that we're doing the right thing and treating it with science.
Right.
I mean, nobody complained when Mike and I were in elementary school when we had to go get the polio vaccine.
Right.
Nobody ever complained when they had to get a vaccine for smallpox.
Nope.
I mean, and the guy who, I can't believe the people are getting upset with Tony Fauci, who is, without Tony Fauci, AIDS would still be with us as a terrible thing, a scourge, and people would be, it would be a death sentence rather than something, a disease just like lots of other diseases. And if he's talking about immunology, I kind of listen to him because, oh yeah, he's the best there ever was.
Well, what I like about Tony Fauci, it reminds me of that same job at AAA. Actually, it was a job at this place where I was working credit granny, and there was this lady named Kate, and Kate was independently wealthy and she didn't have to work, but the way she got wealthy was she married four rich guys in a row and just took them to the cleaners in divorce court. And she was there, and man, this was good money, right? This is 1993, and I was making $70,000 a year. And my job was to massage Kate's shoulders and take her and her girlfriend, which it was a different style of girlfriend in 1993. It wasn't a lesbian relationship. It was the girlfriend that used to go out to the clubs in the Tampa Bay area and have men fall into their traps. So my job was to massage her shoulders during work, do different errands, take her clothes to the cleaners. And I was supposed to do credit granting, which I did half the time. The story was that for the guy on top of my position, she hired this guy named Eric. And we were all upset. And I was a senior. I was going to get my degree, finish getting my degree. And we had a guy named Lionel, black guy, the smartest guy I've ever met in my life. And he worked there, but he was also a drug dealer. But, you know when to get out. He bought his house. He invested in Microsoft. He did all these things. He had a bunch of money. And so now he was just managing guys that wanted to be drug kingpins like him. So they hired this guy, Eric. And I'm like, why did they hire Eric? Eric, Lionel, black guy, had a college degree. So I'm like, I don't know. You and I have better stats, you know, than anybody in here. They hired this guy, Eric, from the outside. Very good looking white guy, tall. He looked like Ken from Ken and Barbie. So I was like, let's talk to Kate, right? And I'm like, wait till Kate has me take her lunch order and I take her clothes to the cleaners. So on the way back, let's meet in her office, right? Provide value first before you get the ass. So we go to Kate's office and we go, hey, Lionel is sharp. He has really the whole town wired, but he has this whole thing wired. Because what happened was that you would go to a car dealer, and if there was 500 cars, you would go and you would count 499, right? And you got $1,000. And of course, the fifth 500th car, right, was like a Porsche, something for $200-$300. $200,000 that the dealership used to sell on the backside. This was the job, right? So, and it paid well, and you got cash for every dealership you went to. You came back with at least $1,000 or $2,000 in 1993 money, my friends. So we go to Kate's office, and this is what Dr. Fauci reminds me of. And Kate goes, well, Eric has a college degree. We're like, no, Eric doesn't have a college degree. Dr. Fauci does not have an official role with the government. He runs a nonprofit, epidemiology institute, and he does know a lot. He's well-spoken. He's almost like the guy in the movie, The Office, that has an office, but he doesn't get paid or anything. So he gets paid by the nonprofit, but he knows a lot about it. And like Rick said, he helped with the AIDS epidemic. He's a great communicator, right? You have to be a great communicator to not be part of the government, but to be in every single press conference with Trump, right? to be at every press conference with Biden. And this guy doesn't even have an official role. And hey, he's better than the horse racing board because he's not getting any of our taxpayers' money. He gets paid through his nonprofit. And he doesn't even need any money anymore. He's in his late 80s.
He just turned 80.
He just turned 80. I love his communication.
National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, his company, is a subdivision of the National Institutes of Health.
Right.
So he does work for the government.
Well, no, the National Institute of Health isn't an agency.
It's an agency of the federal government. It's funded by the federal government.
Well, we're going to handle that because when they said fire Fauci, Trump couldn't fire Fauci. Because Fauci wasn't part of federal government.
No, there's certain parts of the federal government where you can't fire the president. Nobody can fire. You have to go through an inspector general's report.
Right. We'll look this up while we're talking to Mike Persinisi. We have also Mike Persinisi from ADA Compliance and from Accurate Business Coaching. We've known each other 12 years.
Yeah.
Time flies. 2009 to 2021. Been married 100 years, has 3 successful kids, successful businesses. Thank you for joining us, Mike Persinisi. And let us know, what do you think about everything, especially the horse racing board in our last podcast?
Well, one point of clarification for Rick's edification, I've been married 40 years to the same woman, not 100.
Mike, you might like this one. Eric Idle and John Cleese from Monty Python were on Conan's show one day. And Conan, of course, spent 20 years on the road as a stand-up comic. And he looked at John Cleese. He goes, John, besides being a stand-up comic, you made these movies. You were always out and run. But you've been married for 35 years. How did you do that? And then Eric Idle said, well, it did take him 5 women.
Yeah, it did take him 5 women. Yeah. It took me one.
Exactly. You're doing better.
Yeah. So And I love the banter. I do love the energy. And I hope our viewers and our listeners kind of get one thing that we're doing here, Josh and Rick. We're having fun. It's not against the law to have fun, okay? I watch some of these programs on TV or listen to the radio. I'm thinking to myself, either these people need a physic or they need to go for a walk. Something's wrong because they just seem bound up. They don't seem to have any sense of humor. And, you know, a guy asked me a question the other day. He said, well, Mike, what's your real secret to a happy marriage? I said, A, honey, I'm sorry. B, please forgive me. I'll try not to do that again. And C, what did you say? Listening. It's a skill and you have to learn it. And I hope that as we have this banter and we share information and we share knowledge, people pick up on that you can do this. Like what we're doing is we're handing over to our viewers and our listeners, hey, you can do this too. You can build relationships. You can talk to folks. You can stick out your hand. What's the best way to meet people? Hi, I'm Mike. What's your name? Oh, I'm Josh. Hi, Josh. And another thing I want our listeners and viewers to take away from is know your story. You know, what's your story? Do you have a story? And a lot of people, Josh, Rick, they'll say, well, I really don't have one. Of course you do. Of course you do. You've got a story. You had a mom and dad. You were born and raised in a certain place. You grew up. You got a story. Everybody wants to know our story. And they try to connect. We try to connect as human beings with our stories, what we have in common. Sometimes we have a lot more in common than we realize. So it's the launching pad.
One thing, like when you bring up the relationship, I'm going to tell everybody about the relationship and the best $10 you'll ever spend in your relationship. Get online, go Google For Rosanna. It's a movie from the late 1990s starring Mercedes Rule and John Renault and Polly Walker. Now, Mercedes Rule, you know, John Renault, of course, was the assassin with Natalie Portman. And Polly Walker was the beautiful terrorist in Patriot Games. Now, you buy that, you spend that $10, you put that in your desk. And when you get in trouble with your significant other, you bring it out. It's worked for people from 25 to 75, from getting in trouble for working too much, especially it's been worked well when they don't know why they're in trouble. It's worked 100% of the time. The only downside is of the probably 50 people who've tried it, 5 people had to take their wives to Italy, to the little village where the movie's set.
Yeah.
They fell in love with the town and the people. But every time it got them out of trouble.
How about that? That's a good advice.
Yeah, so the National Institute of Health, whatever, they're hired, right? They hired the nonprofit that FOSI works for. So they're like the IRS, right? Where there's been a lot of dispute legally of what can happen. But the IRS has subpoena power. And the IRS can put you in jail. They can freeze your assets. So the government can give the agency whatever power. So if you wanted to fire FOSI, you would have to defund, right? You would have to defund his nonprofit, which is the primary institute, or doing research.
Yeah. Have an inspector general's investigation before you can even do that. So, I mean, the reality is you have to actually prove he's doing something wrong. You can't just fire him because he won't kowtow to
what. No, you can't fire him. What you can do is defund him. You can have Congress. You can ask Congress to defund FOSI or FOSI. So it depends who's in power, right? So if the Republicans were in power, they could defund him, right? If McCarthy was in power, they could defund him. Pelosi's not going to do that, not going to defund it. But then who's going to take up the research? Who's going to back him up? What do you do with all this research? Does he own it? And does the Chinese start funding? You know, so this is not easy. not an easy solution.
Who's riding him and which race is he in?
Huh?
I said, who's riding him? Which race is he in?
We'll get to that. So we're going to get to the Belmont Stakes. Now, what we've been following, putting together, right? So before we get into horse racing true crime, we want to go into every single element of the horse racing industry and kind of profile it, right? One part of it is the horse racing boards and local politicians. We have the number one gay Republican in DeMille, right? He says that, well, do the motivational stuff. Whenever he's been in trouble in life, what main motivation for him in life is money. And what's gotten him out of every pinch he's ever gotten into has been money, right? That's what he said. We also had Jim Desmond, right? Pilot making 400 grand a year. He's making 300 grand a year at the San Diego Board of Commissions, but he had a lot of good plans. But we got into the inside of who these people are and who are on these boards. We profiled Jorge Navarro and Jason Service. Okay. What happened? Yeah, we went through that.
She was the chairman of the California Horse Racing Board.
Yeah, we got to get her on. There, from Jason Service to George Navarro. George Navarro started talking about owners, and FBI got some information, got some recordings of George Navarro with owners. They're like, so who's the main owners? So we did the Stronach family, and that opened up a can of worms, right? Belinda Stronach and the family battle with her dad, and then the connections that the family has, right? To George Soros, to the Clinton Foundation, to they own Santa Anita's, they own Los Alamitos, they're in Ocala, Florida.
The Clinton Foundation was responsible for the bubonic plague and yellow fever.
Well, we're not concerned with that because it's horse racing true crime. What we're concerned with would be the Clinton body count, right? Seth Rich. If you read the Mueller report, every single person that had knowledge of Hillary Clinton's emails ended up dead, right? From Seth Rich through the family in Chicago to the third guy, right? That's in the Mueller report. You can dispute the Mueller report. That's another podcast.
Murdered or did they die of a disease?
I don't know. They're just dead. I just know that they knew about Clinton's email and they're now deceased. I don't know anything else. Well, I'm not making any value judgments or anything else.
I guess that Abraham Lincoln's dead. So I guess Clinton killed them too.
Well, Seth Rich is dead, right? He had knowledge of the email, and then the brothers in Chicago are dead.
You know that cost Fox News like $50 million when they got sued about that? Because and that's just flat out an outright lie.
Or the Mueller report. You're saying that the Mueller report is an outright lie.
The story about Seth Rich being murdered is an outright lie. It's evil.
Right, but was he in possession of Clinton's email?
You have destroyed a family, a totally innocent family. There is zero.
Oh, no, and the family had nothing to do with it.
There's zero evidence that Clinton had anything to do with Seth Rich.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that did he have possession of Clinton's emails? Yes or no?
Nobody. They don't know where it is.
Well, I'll read the. We'll go through the Mueller report and evidence that he had possession of it. FBI agents, Mueller report, everybody says he had possession of it. Number two, is he alive or dead?
You're going to lose me very quickly on Seth. That's purely evil to attack an innocent man who was murdered by the people you say. That's
all right. What about the other two people in the Mueller report?
Who are you talking about?
The father and dad in Chicago in the Mueller report.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
All right, we'll go through the Mueller report. We'll go through those guys, what they had in their possession, and whether they're dead or alive, and then the other person besides Cecil. But you're looking at Vince Foster, you're looking at Ron Brown.
So then, oh my God. I mean, that's just beyond comprehension.
Right.
That's just thing for the hot stuff.
Well, all I know is, right? This is the evidence, right? Yeah. You can have your own opinion, right? But you can't have your own facts. The facts are that Belinda Stronach donated campaign contributions to the Clinton campaign, and she also put money in the Clinton Foundation. She also donated money and has associations with George Soros. She was also an MP, right, in the British Parliament.
You do realize that George Soros was 11 years old when World War II ended.
But that's not my point. My point is that Belinda Stronach gave George Soros money. And it's a fact, and nobody's disputing it. Okay. That's all we're saying. She also gave the Clinton Foundation money. Whatever you want to think about Bill Clinton or whatever, it's clear and it's factual that she gave money to the Clinton Foundation.
There's the ultimate cider on charities, okay? Like the Clinton Foundation, like the Red Cross, and everybody is a group called the Charity Navigator.
Right.
They are totally apolitical. There's people on their board of directors for both sides who are respected by both sides. People like John Danforth used to be working with them, the Republican senator from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of people in that board. According to them, I want to know what you think about why you're so opposed to the Clinton Foundation, which gave away, they've tracked every single penny donated to them by independent sources and in multiple countries. There is no problem with the Clinton Foundation.
We're not saying there is. All we're saying is that Belinda Stronach gave money. This is the people she hangs out with. This is how much money she has.
I gave money to the Clinton Foundation. I gave money to March of Dimes. Somebody going to come kill me?
Well, you're not involved in the business the Stronaches are in, right? So the Stronaches own 6 farms in the United States, one in Ocala, Florida,
right?
With the Big Boys farm. The Big Boys farm is owned by who? The Gambino family of John Gotti, right? They also own Los Alamitos and they own Santa Anita. Then we connected it to Ben and Honey Sherman, who have a pharmaceutical conglomerate and horse pharmacies in where? Ocala, Florida, right next to the Gambino family farm, the Bad Boys farm, Ocala, Florida, who's run horses all over the country. So we're doing our own self-reporting because it's horse racing true crime. But looking at it from a macro picture, we're putting the pieces in play so people can have their own. We can argue about it and we can have fun. And for the most part, we'll get closer to the truth, right? Then we've picked the first 2 winners of the Triple Crown, and now we're going into the Belmont Stakes. So what are your initial thoughts here on the Belmont Stakes, Rick?
I'm liking Hot Rod Charlie and Rock Your World. And the reason being, as we discussed off camera, was that Flavian Pratt won the Preakness on Rombauer. He rides for both Mike McCarthy and Doug O'Neill. So he's big enough at this point in his career that he gets to choose.
Right.
And he chose to run Hot Rod Charlie.
Right.
So Flavian Pratt, who right now is probably one of the top 10 riders in the world, in the United States, not the world, but in the United States.
Yeah.
He's riding both. He's been on the back of both of them. And he doesn't, since he chose them, I like him better than Rombauer. And Rock Your World just got off to an atrocious start on the Derby. And the race was over 50 yards into the race.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things. And if they thought it was Rosario's fault, he wouldn't be riding him again. Of course, Rosario is also one of the top. I mean, Johnny V, who's riding Rombauer, is a legend of all times. I mean, he's won more money on horses than anybody in North America. He hasn't won more races, but he's won more money.
Right.
So let me make a point for our listening and viewing audience. That's a great point you make, Rick. So the winner of the Preakness race on Rumbar, which was Flavian Pratt, thinks that Hot Rod Charlie is actually a better pick and a better horse to run in the Belmont.
Yes.
And why are we going to argue with?
But the thing is, On Saturday, maybe Hot Rod Charlie sees a mouse in his stall.
Right.
And is afraid to get out onto the track.
Right.
That's why they call it gambling.
That's why they call it gambling. That's right. That's right.
Now, the one thing about Saturday, first of all, it's going to be very hot. So something, a lot of times people will talk about horses when they get out of track if they look sweaty. When it's 90 degrees with 70% humidity, I'm guessing some of the horses that are dead and buried in the park at Belmont will be sweating.
Right.
So don't get too keyed up. Also, the Saturday is, other than the Breeders' Cup Day, probably has more Grade One races on the rest of the card than any day, any track, anywhere in the country.
Mm.
They have the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th races are all Grade One.
Wow.
And they're talking about everything from 6 furlongs on the turf to 1.5 miles in the Belmont on the dirt. So you got a little bit of everything, but you got a lot of the best horses in the world. And of course, of all the hunch bets, there is a hunch bet in New York. Let me see which race is. I think he's in the just. Let's see which race he's in. Sorry about that. He is in the Metropolitan Mile. Now, he's also the morning line favorite, but if you're ever going to have a hunch bet in New York, a horse named Knicks Go. It's spelled Knicks, like the New York Knicks.
Right.
Is a hunch bet. He's the best horse in the race. He's going to be very low. He's going to drop down even lower because of his name.
Knicks Go, and that's what race is that one?
That's, I think that, let me look back. It's the 9th, the Metropolitan Mile.
Got it.
And that should, I mean, they have there's a lot of good horses in that. They're getting a lot of small fields, but a lot of good horses, which is, you know, there's also something that some people believe in. I do sometimes, is that small fields, big prices.
Right.
So in other words, if you have a 6-horse field, maybe there's a horse at 12-1. Take a shot.
Yeah,
we've won 2 12-to-1s in a row, Medina Spirit and Runbar, right at the last. So that's why the Twitter feed is important, because I put it on Twitter before. We'll put all the picks, all the sports bets before, and I'm heating up with the NBA playoffs here. So I would look at my Twitter feed, get those NBA playoff picks. But I put that one late. Rumbrower is back in this one. It's at the second position.
Second favorite.
3-1. Now, Hot Rod Charlie, which Rick mentioned in the Belmont, it's won $1.3 million. Essential Quality, which 24 horses have won from the first hole, right? And that's Bourbonic, but Essential Quality is in the second hole. Right, so it's the second from the pole position. It's at 2-1, and Hot Rod Charlie's at 7-2. And I love when regular horse, I love the second favorite, right? Because in normal horse racing, the favorite wins around 20% of the time. I think the percentage is a lot higher in the Belmont.
Well, no, the typically between, depending on the track, between 28% and 34% is foot favorites win.
Right.
And money about 60%.
Right. So, yeah. So, about 60, between 60 to 70% of the time, the non favorite wins the race.
Right.
But you always want to not put all your eggs in one basket, right?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you have to remember that a lot of times, favorites are guys who going to the track just for the heck of it. And they'll think that the people who are betting know something.
Right.
Which also depends on prices.
Right.
And the first, a very good rule of the track is the only reason you worry about odds is if you're trying to pick between. The guy, the favorite doesn't mean that they know more than you.
No.
And, you know, so it's one of those things that you just.
It's situational awareness.
The thing is also with 8 horses in the race, it's pretty hard to get a bad trip. And here's something that's going, like I told Josh earlier,
To that point about the trip, though, Todd Fletcher has 3 horses in the race. He has.
But you can beat 2 of them.
Yeah, so yeah. I always think with 3 horses in a race, one's going to set a pick for the other one. Right.
He's got No Agenda, and he's got Hot Rod Charlie. He's got Bourbonic, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is...
And Rumbrar is run by his mentee, the guy mentor, who was crying, saying how much he loved Todd Fletcher at the end of the last race that he won, the Preakness. So if he can do his buddy a friend, I imagine he would do it. So in a way, Todd Fletcher has four horses in an in an eight-horse field. So I would put, right? Now, Coach Mike is a novice like I would, but let me ask you this, right? There's common sense, right, which is knowledge that you don't need a specialized degree.
Right.
So if Todd Fletcher has four horses in the field out of eight, is it safe to say that one of Todd Fletcher's horses will finish in the top three?
Yeah, but you also have to remember we have an eight-horse field.
Yeah.
The way it works is if you typically just bet the win, you'll lose maybe 15 to 17%. If you bet just the place, you're going to lose 20 to 25%. You bet just the show, you're going to lose 30% because, especially in an eight-horse field, because there isn't that much money to be chopped up.
Right.
Another thing that freaks a lot of people out is they'll bet 100-to-1 shot the show.
Right.
The show.
And they're shocked that when their 100-to-1 shot loses to an 8-to-5 shot and a 6-to-5 shot, that they only pay 280 to show.
Right.
Because you have to chop the pot up. Now, I was going to say about the one Fletcher horse, Overtook. About the only thing Overtook could block may be the beer guy. I think if we put a saddle on you, Josh, I'd take you Overtook.
Yeah, so, but he's $131,000.
You have to be. So now, there's also something I was about to say, which is counterintuitive, but is real.
Right.
Is that, and the Belmont is the longest race these horses will ever race in North America. A mile and a half on the dirt is just not done. And you would think that a horse in a mile and a half race would be favored for coming from behind. But the reality is, it's usually horses very close to the leader or on the lead, because it takes more. Because the only way the front running horses usually lose, like when Smarty Jones is going for the Triple Crown, the jockey and the trainer were really mad at losing the Derby, so they went nuts out of the gate. They ran the first six furlongs of a, which is three quarters of a mile of a mile and a half race in a time that you'd usually run a sprint race. And Smarty Jones was still so good, he only lost by two lengths, even though somebody went after him to try to make him lose. Those kind of things are that do hurt racing, is when somebody just tries to keep you from winning, and that does happen.
So, for example, in the Belmont with an eight-horse field, what I'm hearing you say, there's probably no horse is going to try to make one horse lose or clip somebody
Looking at the form, it doesn't look like it. No,
yeah. But it has happened though.
It happens a lot, to be honest with you. But it doesn't happen as much in grade ones.
I was 4-0. Hopefully, I can repeat it. But I was 4-0 last year in Del Mar when that happened. Double Neal had three horses in the race. It's horse race four, and there are three horses by Doug O'Neill. I bet the Doug O'Neill favorite or the Baffert favorite or the big guy favorite, and I was 4-0. I cashed those. Might have been pure luck, conspiracy theory, but that's what I was thinking. I cashed the money.
Picking colors, picking numbers, you have as good a chance as most people there. Yeah. I mean, they used to have a thing at Brandywine Racetrack, which was a harness racing track called the Big E. It was the eighth and ninth race. What you would do is you would bet the exacta in the eighth race, okay? And if you hit that exacta, you would change it in for another exacta ticket in the ninth race.
Right.
And it would pay thousands of dollars usually. Mm. The guy next to me hit it one time. He bet his house number for $6,000. So, I mean...
That's a gambler.
No, that's just a guy wanting to get out of the house for the night.
Yeah.
And there's probably a 5 or 10% of people at the top who know what they're doing, and even they don't win all the time.
Right. So I've won $300 so far. So I'm going to bet $100, you know, in any combination, right? And the three horses that I'm looking, and I'm going to keep the $200 and put in my NBA playoffs, right? Keep the profit. Don't be a degenerate and try to bet all $300 on the Belmont, and you'll probably lose it just because of anxiety or whatever. Not going to be thinking right. So
do we have some kind of an order that, because I'm looking at, you guys are talking about Hot Rod Charlie, but he's going to go off at what? You said 7-2 odds right now?
Right.
Thank you. I think if I'm looking at this, my guesstimation, okay, I haven't even done this, so let me put the pen on the paper. Essential Quality is going to go off at 8-5.
Essential Quality?
Yeah. I think Ron Bauer will probably go off at.
Essential Quality, yeah.
Yeah, Essential Quality. Ron Bauer will probably go off at 4-1.
It's at 15-1 right now. So if you can get to your sports book at 15-1, go ahead. Whatever you can afford on.
Put
$20 on Bourbonic.
15-1 for Bourbonic seems reasonable. Hot Rod Charlie will probably go off as a second. Let me see. Hold on. We'll probably go off as a third favorite at 9-2. Francisco Deena, $1,000,000-1.
Yeah, that one has no chance. The Japanese horse.
Let's put it this way. If the other seven horses only fell down once, he still might not win. Known Agenda is going to get some bet. I bet he's going to go off at like 8-1.
Right.
And he's not terrible. I think Rock Your World is going to go off as the second favorite at 5-2. And Overlook is going to be going for the exacta. If you bet the 5-8 exacta, France, the Ina, and Overtook, and you box it, you may get the entire exacta pool.
Right.
He could be 99-1. But I mean, I think I'm going to guess that because a lot of people like to bet excuses. And maybe I'll give you a break on one excuse. If you have two or three excuses, there used to be I just throw you out because you're going to find a way to lose. There are horses that you look in the form and you'll see, like, they've raced 15 times. They have 2 wins, 9 seconds, and 2/3. And he had 9 times he sucked people into bet on him that he's going to win this time. No, he's going to come in second this time. There was a horse about 10, 15 years ago who was a grade one horse called In Excess. It was a turf horse.
Right.
And I used to call him In Accept. In other words, he would always take his way out of the grade ones if the good grade one horses win. And then when it was an off-track grade one, he was the only grade one, he'd win that race. But he wouldn't win if there were other horses that were grade one horses. And he would always be the favorite. It was amazing.
So if I understand correctly, you're saying that Overtook is never going to, he's not going to show up. I mean, he's in the race as an eighth horse, but really it's a seven-horse race, technically.
Well, actually, it's a six-horse race. I think he's better than the five.
Right.
Okay.
Secretariat's better than the five, and he's been dead for 15 years. And then the thing is also, do I think that Overtook can win or maybe even come in second? I don't think so. Overtook could come in second or third if there's something weird in the race. If a couple horses get tied up, if he gets a carbon bow rail run where he's been on the rail the whole race and everybody else goes five wide. Right. Things can happen, but if they ran this race 20 times, I wouldn't say that he would get second or third more than once.
Okay.
Who knows? Somebody could step on a marble out there and take out three horses.
Well, it's very interesting because in the financial world, really from the beginning of last year, when Portnoy from Barstool Sports, the son of Penn National, when he started shell companies and he had his people raise the price of the stock and had them all buy it, it was a classic legal pump and dump. Now, I was jealous of Portnoy because if I did that, immediately fire troopers would come in here, knock down the door. Even Anna psychotherapist's wife had nothing to do with it. They would put her in cuffs, put me in cuffs, take all my files, and they would put me in jail. And I say this because the first two horse races, even Medina Spirit, both those horses increased in value a lot, right? Because that's what Portnoy's trying to do. That's what Wall Street Bets is doing. Okay, classic, pump and dump. Yeah. 100% legal, maybe 100% unethical, maybe even 100% immoral, the way you would think about it, but it's legal, right? Nobody can argue with that. So Verbani, right, from Kentucky with the new testing lab, the owner is Calmet Farms, breeder Calmet Farms, Todd Fletcher. That horse has the biggest upside as far as improving its value with a win. Central Quality has 2.4 million. Hot Rod Charlie, 1.3 million. This one has won 465,000.
Actually,
yeah,
you've got that a little bit wrong. And I'll tell you
what. Which part?
All of it. Okay. Well, here's the reason.
All right. Let's start with Rumbar. Did Rumbar, yes or no, increase his value by winning the Precinct Stakes?
Yeah, but he won't increase his value as much as the Central Quality will.
No. That's not my question. Yes or no? Did Rumbrower?
You said Verbani could increase his value more than the Central Quality of others. I'm trying to explain.
No. What I'm saying is, does Verbani increase his value by winning the
value. But let me explain why.
Yeah, go ahead.
Quality will be Central Quality or even Rock Your World will increase their value by more than other words is that they've already won. Right. And Essential Quality won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year.
Right.
And by winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and then by being winning the Belmont Stakes, right, that will increase his value much more than if Bourbonic, who won the Wood, just won this race.
Well, because, so Hot Rod Charlie, you're saying?
Huh?
No, so you're saying Hot Rod Charlie or no, you're saying Essential Quality? So in actual dollars or percentage wise?
In actual dollars.
Percentage-wise is what makes you money.
Percentage-wise, we won't know percentage-wise for a couple of years.
Right. And that's my as a guy with an MBA, right? The guy with a master's degree, guy with securities license, says that my analysis will tell you that Bourbonic percentage-wise will increase its value. And it's just sense, right? Because the other horse already won the Juvenile Breeders' Cup, as you're saying, right? It's already had $2.4 million in earnings. This one has 465, which is 25% of that. By winning the Belmont Stakes as a professional, I would say percentage-wise, Bourbonic is going to increase his value. Percentage-wise, not in actual dollars. Actual dollars, it's a scam, right?
And the percentage, Essential Quality may go up more. And here's a couple other reasons. Number one, he's proven that he's a consistent, great grade one winner, a consistent top horse.
Right, Essential Quality.
And he's also the son of Tappet, who was, until last year, the most valuable stud in North America.
Got it.
And his grandfather is Elusive Quality, who is also a very highly priced stud. Now, Bernardini, the father of Bourbonic, is a wonderful horse. And his by AP Indian, by Fleek Alex, he's going to have to win a couple of more races before they believe him. Like, after this race, if Essential Quality wins, I would not be shocked to see Essential Quality be put out the stud for 20, 25 million. If Bourbonic goes and wins this race, he's still not going to be worth more than 5 or 6 million because he hasn't done much yet. He could become more valuable by percentage.
By percentage.
Mm-hmm. But he has to do more to get that to happen. Whereas Essential Quality and Rock Your World and to some extent, let me see. Not so much Hot Rod Charlie because he has a his breeding isn't anywhere near as good as the other two.
Right. No, I love it, man. I love it because we don't just yes each other, or recognize each other. We tell each other what we really feel. It was the greatness of the podcast, which many outlets do not have. So what do you guys think? Unboxing Bourbonic, Essential Quality, and Hot Rod Charlie.
Now, before you do that, go to whatever site you make your bet on. And in all the races, you'll have a thing down below, which will say, have like win, place, show, and they also have predicting at that moment, what the exact is paying.
Right.
And the reason why that may not be a great bet, not that you won't win.
Right.
Like, okay, let's say that you're betting Essential Quality, Hot Rod Charlie, and Rock Your World. And let's say this, we'll do it a simple one for $20.
Right.
That's $120 you're making on that bet. Now, if that exacta comes in, that none of those exactas, I doubt, will pay more than $30, okay, for a $2 bet, which means you're gambling $120 to make a maximum of $300. You're getting 5-2 on your money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just simply trying to make more than your 15% that you're trying to make, you're okay. Right. But you're not getting as much bang for your buck as if you bet. Of course, these three horses are all going to be about that kind of odds. You have to hit one. I mean,
I have like two semi favorites and a 15-1. So the 15-1 is where the money's going to come in if it finishes in the first three spots.
Right. First two.
So you first guys two. Have discounted Rumbauer completely. You haven't mentioned him at all.
I just don't. I think he got.
I haven't. I'm picking. Yeah, horse. What do you think, Rick?
That's why the great thing about horse racing is one of the reasons why I prefer horse racing far more than casino betting or even sports betting.
Yeah.
Because especially at casino betting, they tell you you're going to lose 3%.
Right.
You still say, "Oh, please take my money," and if you bet the same amount, let's say that you bet $10 to win on every horse.
Yeah.
At the Belmont, there's, I think, 14 races, $140. If you get three horses that average 9-2, you're even.
Yeah.
And if you play blackjack and you win 3 out of 14, you're hitting the ATM.
Yeah, you lost your shorts.
and if you're betting games, unless you're betting a parlay, it's the same thing. And it can be even worse in betting games if you bet the money line. Let's say like tonight, actually, I just looked. Denver did beat Portland.
Huh? He did, but they went over.
He got 141. But right now, the Phoenix is up 62-41 over the Lakers. Right. Now, the thing is, if you took the money line on, I don't know what the, do you know what the money line was tonight?
The money line was +150 Phoenix.
Okay, so +150. So you would bet 100 to win 150.
You bet 100 to make 150. Yeah.
Right. Now you'd have, but if you lost the next game,
for sports betting, right? Last year NBA playoffs, I was 75%. Break even is 52.5%. So when you make your money, like Aldo Lahi, right?
Spread.
It's the margin between 52.5 and 75%. In actual dollars, it came out betting $1,000 a game, came out to about $48,000 in profit. Now, those $48,000 are gambling earnings that now the state of California is at 12%. So you got to get with your state legislature to do two things. Keep it at 12% when sports betting becomes legal in California and have your losses be deducted from your income. Right? Because Pennsylvania just got $233 million in taxes from sports betting during a pandemic when people couldn't go to the sports book or the casino. What are they going to make now, right? New Jersey, $1.5 billion
windfall.
Right. NFL betting, right? It was 65%.
Yeah.
net was 58,000 minus 10,000 for Uncle Charlie. Now, how much do I have in Bitcoin? That's between me, my wife, and God. And how has the earnings that I got to sports betting and then put at Bitcoin when I was at 18, it's now at 36 from sports betting money, that margin, where is it?
Don't say anymore.
That's Jeff. Why I have it here. Well, I'm actually going to have a Twitter video on it. It's called Wealth Stressors for Millennials. And I have it. People have an inheritance on it. They come to me. I don't know what to do with the money. Well, we bring out the book that says, hey, you already made it, right? So now it's tax mitigation. But I will say this. Sports betting and horse racing, right, have a higher percentage. And it happened. I have this one client worth $50 million. He's like, Josh, give me the sports bets. I give him the sports bet. He calls me like, yeah, I made $200,000. Oh, great. And then I call him the next day. He's like, oh, out of the $200,000, how much do you still have left? Because I know you went out partying and this and that. Oh, I have maybe $75,000 left. I lost it all on the crap table. I'm like, dude. Those table games have like 20%.
Problems that people have.
Yeah.
There ain't no such thing ever in any gambling. That's house money.
Right. House money. Right.
I love that line, Rick.
And the other thing is, it's a lot in horse racing. It's really, really, really easy to write off most of you have to leave a little taste, but you can write off and it's easy. All you have to do is put together a spreadsheet and write down bets that you theoretically made.
Right. Now, the Democrats are trying to put an end to that.
No.
Hire 5,000 new IRS agents spooking around. We'll be ahead of the game on that. But for now, the way things are now with 2,000 IRS agents out there, they're only going after the big fish and red flags. So don't be a red flag. And if you are going to be a big fish, you hire somebody who's an expert in tax mitigation, really, bottom line. And 20% of CPAs out there are good. About 5% of financial advisors are good. So you're going to have to find the right people that know what they're doing, right? So you don't have any problems. But like we said on the podcast, this is a mental health first aid kit, financial first aid kit. Second rule of betting. First rule of betting, especially sports betting, never bet your own team. Number two is always do your research.
Well, the thing, California, all the crazy Democrats in California did do something for sports betting, which was also picked up by all the crazy Democrats in New York. And then after that, Kentucky, is that it used to be if you hit for over 300 to 1 in a bet, you had to go right to the IRS window, give them your social security card, and they would take 30% off the top. But and the reason that was grossly unfair was to hit 300 to 1, you're usually betting a pick 4, pick 5, pick 6, or
right.
Okay. And let's say you're betting a pick 6. Maybe the bet these days the bet's 50 cents, okay, or 20 cents, but you may get back $1,000, which is a 5,000 to 1 bet. But you didn't bet one bet. You bet $100 because you picked all the different possible combinations. In California, New York, and Kentucky now, it's the total bet that you get that you would have to pay tax on. In other words, if you bet $1,000 on the pick 6 and it paid $5,000, $10,000, you don't owe any taxes. They don't take any taxes out of your money. And then after you get home, you can write up your own little Excel spreadsheet and show that you lost $9,640, and they can't prove that you don't. You didn't. Right.
No, 100%, 100%.
I'll tell you one thing. Our viewers and listeners would be thrilled to win, okay? They'd be thrilled to win. So circling back for just a minute. So here's a thought. I'm going to run this by you guys. I may be out in the bleachers somewhere. I just keep hearing Rumbauer kind of written off. Rumbauer, so what's his name? Flavian Pratt's not going to ride him. I just have the feeling, and I don't know what it is, Josh. I have the feeling he's going to surprise people. I don't know why.
He's got the king of Belmont.
Yeah, Yeah.
Johnny V is the king of Belmont.
Johnny V, I mean, I just see, I don't know, what are his...
That's who's writing him, right? He writes well in Belmont?
Yeah, John, that's Johnny V's home track the last 30 years.
Yeah. So awesome. somewhere in our thinking, I like the idea of putting Rumbar up in the top. I'm gonna say top five. Now I don't know if he gets the top three.
There's three different ways you can bet, really. You can bet straight to win, or win play show type of betting.
Win play show,
In which case you really won't, especially when the odds are like this, when nobody's gonna be over like 6-1, that you're thinking about betting, bet one horse. Because otherwise you cut your odds in half.
Yeah.
Thirds or three quarters.
Yeah, that's true. That one.
You can hit it and lose. The other thing is in what they call exotics. Exotics are exactas, trifectas, superfectas.
Yeah.
And then you can throw your horse in because he doesn't necessarily have to win. Now, what you're talking about, like what Mike was talking about putting four or five horses in, is when you bet what they call verticals. A vertical is like a pick three, pick four, pick five.
That's it.
And you want to take more than one horse in a race. Unless, like in a race like this, you want to take more than one horse because there's no horses that stand out. Now, if there's a standout, you want to, then you take what they call a free spot. And that saves you a ton of money. And so you should take a look at the verticals a lot. And also, I think that we told them on the previous show, if it's you and a couple of friends and you're watching the races on Saturday, a really fun bet is the pick four. Because what you do is each one of your, like if Josh, Mike and I were sitting around watching the Belmont, watching the TV with all the shows on, and we go, okay, let's bet the pick four. Then if Josh picks a horse, Mike picks a horse, and then I pick a horse in each race.
In each race.
It costs you a multiple of $13.50 to have three horses in each race for the pick four. And if one of your long shots come in, it could easily pay a few hundred.
Whoa.
The total bet's $40.
$40.
But the most fun is when your friend picks the 3-5 shot and he comes in last and your 7-1 shot wins and you get to give him a world of hassle for the rest of the next 2 weeks. That's half the fun. I mean, my first year out of college, we played as a pro at the harness races. And the biggest race of the night, there were about six of us. And the biggest race of the night was the race, we had eight cards we showed up with, ace through nine. And before we started the night, somebody would pick out one of the cards, and that would be the race. And then we'd pick out each, in that race, we would pick who picked in what order, and we'd bet a quarter, not $25, 25 cents.
Quarter.
And who would finish last?
Who would finish last?
It's much harder to pick who's going to come in last than who's going to come in first. And we would yell much louder to win that $1.25. And we would on the $20 exactus, we would pay $2,000 because we're beating our friends, and beating our friends is a lot more fun than beating the track.
The track, right?
100%.
And the other thing is, like, although people say, what about the takeout? Forget about the takeout, because the takeout is what they use to pay the purses. It does not give a track an advantage. In other words, like in blackjack, there are odds on what the cards are coming out. In craps, the odds are what your throws are going to be.
Yeah.
And there's a defined percentage that's the house favorite. The house doesn't care in horse racing. They don't care if you win or lose.
Yeah.
In fact, they want you to win a lot of money because you're going to come back.
Right.
And they don't win any more or any less if you win or if Josh wins or I win. If a 99-1 shot wins or a 2-1 shot wins, the track makes no difference. It doesn't make any difference to the track.
Well, Astronis track, they own the track. They own the horses. Now they own the pharmacy that gives the horses medicine. And they own XBet. And they get a piece of the bet you make. So they should care less. They already made money coming and going, then it's commercial property, right? Like the NFL. So they're making money as the property appreciates. All right, final thoughts. That binging is Anna saying, hey.
Now, here's a thought for you guys about the real estate, okay, from the ADA perspective, the disabled perspective, okay? Let's say, for example, I have friends that are wheelchair bound or disabled, hearing impaired, sight impaired, but they like to gamble on horse racing, okay? Is the track accessible for them?
Absolutely.
Is there a way they can go from the parking lot to wherever, place a bet, go to the bathroom, get a drink, get a hot dog, and watch? And if it is, that's a win. If it's not...
And not only that, but they get preferred parking. They get the park like almost at the gate.
Yeah.
Almost at the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you got to remember that the Stronach family is tied into the state legislature. So they wrote the legislation as far as ADA and horse track are concerned.
Yeah.
So there's no way of getting around them. And hey, they're sharp. That's why they have all the money. All right, so final thoughts. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put $20 on Bourbonic, and then I'm going to box Bourbonic. Rumpture, based on Mike Christianese's hunch, and then Hot Rod Charlie, because Rick says that Hot Rod Charlie's going to win.
Yeah, I like Hot Rod Charlie. I mean, because of the short field and the short prices, I'll probably bet more pick fours and other race exactors. Now, okay, if you're listening, here's one horse. There's in the
sixth and I'll post race, this on the episode notes and then on Twitter. I'll post all our picks and Rick's picks, which he's been doing well the last two races.
I don't know how much time I'm gonna have tomorrow because I just got this like a few minutes ago. But in the sixth race, the Jaipur is a grade one on turf.
Right.
What's that name?
It's the sixth race. The race is called Jaipur. It's named after a famous horse.
Okay. Ah, okay.
It's a grade one race. It's a $400,000 purse.
Okay.
Now, the big favorite is going to be Bound for Nowhere, which is very good. Now, the thing is, there's another horse that's going to be, the odds are 15 to 1 by the name of Alexandra, an Australian horse.
Got it.
Now, the thing about Australia is Australia really loves sprint races. Europe really loves long races. And she was one of the top sprinters in Australia for a couple of years. And here's another interesting thing, is that she's raced three times. He's raced three times at Belmont and three times on the Belmont turf.
Wow.
That's what he's done all three times.
One.
And he has raced against, Bound for Nowhere, some other place. And I think he lost by a few lengths, but I think he's alive. He's alive exactly. There's a term that they have in horse racing. It's called horses for courses, which means certain, nobody can figure it out. It just is.
Mm.
So you want to, if you're looking at your racing form, here's a tip for everybody for the racing form. Look under where it says how Brawley did in 2020 and 2021 and their lifetime winnings. Underneath that, you'll see, Belmont. Like I'm looking at Bourbonic and Belmont. He has raced once at Bourbonic. He's raced one time at Belmont and lost, but that's no big deal. That doesn't prove anything. But when you're getting the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 races and they've done really well, you have to think about that.
Right.
And I was sort of about Josh, you're a numbers guy. It's one of my very favorite anti-numbers thing is in basketball, the numbers guys, all the brilliant numbers guys say that the hot hand doesn't exist. The guy hits four shots in a row, he's probably going to miss his next three. No, he's not. He's probably going to hit the next three. Because when the basket gets bigger and bigger and bigger,
right.
And for the horse race, the horses go, I like this. I mean, they're sentient animals.
Right.
My last thing is we're very lucky that horses' vision is so bad. Horses' vision is basically 1 to 9 or 1 to 10. They think we're bigger than they are.
Hmm.
Because of their sight, they think that humans are bigger than them. Otherwise, they'd never let us anywhere near them.
Hmm.
Because could you imagine trying to come up to a horse that realizes that he can beat you anytime he wants? And you say, oh, I want to get up on you and I want to whip you. Yeah, they're going to let you know. If they're going to let you do that if their site wasn't so bad.
Mm.
But the most important thing is have fun and make fun of your friends for when they lose.
Right. Yeah, no, analytics, even though I can be a numbers guy, analytics does not work in NBA basketball or football.
I agree with you.
But it does work in baseball. Closing thoughts, Mike Frisinisi. Yeah, baseball is where it works. Mike Frisinisi.
So, Rick, thank you for all the backstory.
Yes, thank you, Rick.
It's really interesting to hear this thing about horses for courses. It makes sense. It's an intuitive thing. It's like, okay, why does one horse like this course versus the other? I don't know. We don't know, but apparently it's a real thing. And I like when you circle back talking about, like, for example, how many Todd Fletcher horses are in this race. And there's only 8 horses in the Belmont Stakes. And of them, really one, you're saying, like, overtook, may or may not even show up. So you got 7 horse race. I mean, that's good insight. So I hope our viewers and listeners are listening carefully and taking notes, because that is, I mean,
they're sharing, they're telling their friends and neighbors, and it's growing.
Yeah.
Each podcast that Rick's been involved with, or gave me a guest from Graham Honaker, that podcast grew, and then all the podcasts he has grew. So we're gonna have Rick back for Del Mar Racing. We'll have a debate. I'll be the moderator between Mike Frisinisi. Summer's good, and then after football
season. We're talking about here about Josh talking about doing your homework, and we'll go back to a homework thing. As a friend of mine from high school was the number one high school football player in the country as a junior and as a senior. Woody Haynes came to our high school. And then he got cut in the NFL, never made it, and started selling insurance. Then he decided to run for Congress. And our county had elected exactly one Democrat since Reconstruction, and that's the person he was running against. And he was running in a county that was 9-2 Republican in 1980 when Reagan won the county by like 30%.
Yeah.
Now he was, his entire case for why you should vote for him was his opponent wasn't a good Christian, because he didn't oppose abortion. He didn't oppose contraception. He didn't oppose teaching sex education. So he was a bad Christian. And I ran into him in the old Philadelphia train station, which you've seen in a bunch of everything from Trading Places to all sorts of movies. I go, Steve, I think you have a problem with your campaign. And he goes, what's that? I go, well, you keep on telling us the congressman is a bad Christian and you should only vote for you because he's not a very good Christian. And then I go, well, Steve, he goes, yeah, he isn't. I go, well, Steve, do you know what? 8,500 families, not people, 8,500 families in our county called him before they called him congressman. And he goes, what's that? He goes, Reverend? He was the pastor for the largest Methodist church in the state of Pennsylvania, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And he was the head of the Methodist Synod. But he wasn't a good Christian because he thought women should be allowed to take contraceptives.
No. You gotta do your research. And when you do your research, I'll add this too as well. So before I give you Winston Churchill, don't judge anything. Don't rush to judge.
Yeah.
Just look at the facts, right? Process them, ask people, right? Get some corroboration. And don't make final judgment unless you are a judge. Keep it, because I've thought certain things and come to a conclusion, and 10 years later, it's like, oh, I got some more information. It was totally the opposite of what I was thinking at the time. So 12X, 10X is probably copyrighted, but 12X, you always get 12 times more than what you give. And I always close with Winston Churchill, who said, you give, you get a living from your labor, but you make a life from what you give. That's why all of our picks are free and for you to monetize in the richest, greatest country in the world. Thank you for listening to the ESBC Podcast Network.
Are we clear?
Not yet.
Oh, whoops.
One sec. I'm the best there is.